Welcome, everybody, to All About Windows Phone Insight podcast number 109, recording this on the Thursday evening of IFA 2014. And with slight apologies for perhaps for the audio and bandwidth through to Mr. Rafe Blandford, who is on the floor, as it were. Hi, Rafe.
Hello, everybody. Yes, we're recording this. I'm actually on my Lumia 930 on the Skype application. It's the first time we've actually tried doing a podcast this way, so apologies for any audio glitches or some extra rustles along the way. I am in Berlin. I've just been at the Nokia More Lumia event, where the Lumia 730, 735 and 830 have just been announced. Also had a chance to check out some of the bits of the show floor at IFA as well. For those that don't know, it's one of the kind of the big consumer electronics trade shows here in Europe. And really, there's been more and more phone activity in the last few years, ever since Samsung launched one of their Note products here. So we've had big announcements from Sony, from Samsung, from Huawei, and there's probably more to come. And of course, Microsoft itself had its event today as well, which is, I guess, the main thing we'll be talking about, given that this is the All About Windows Phone podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. There are three things I want to get to. Obviously, the Lumia 730 / 735 and the Lumia 830. Also, Lumia Denim, the new name for the platform. But we should just say before any of this, we had promised we'd have two big discussion topics for this podcast. We promised this just over a week ago, and it's patently evident that we're not going to get to it in this show. So we haven't forgotten. And hopefully we'll get back to that either next week or the week after. They're both long-running discussion topics, things that are not particularly time-sensitive. This obviously is sensitive because it's the conference, the show is still going on. So we'll leave Lumia Denim just for a moment, Rafe. Let's start with the kind of potentially the sexier of the two devices, for me at least, the higher-end device, the Lumia 830. It's essentially kind of slightly lower down the chain than the 930. It's got a 10-megapixel camera, branded as PureView, but with actually no oversight sampling as far as I can see. Plus, it's got apparently the slimmest OIS Nokia / Microsoft has done, plus replaceable battery, plus optional Qi wireless charging, plus all the Dolby stuff, plus a lot of the flagship stuff that is actually in the 930. So I guess the first question is, let's leave the camera to one side. What did you think of it as a device, holding it in the hand, and in terms of its value proposition?
It's a really lovely device when you hold it in the hand. That kind of just that instant feel when you pick it up. It's very much like the 930, although it does have some elements of the 925 in there as well. But it is slimmer and thinner, and that does make a difference. You know, people prefer lighter and sort of thinner phones, and it doesn't really sacrifice very much getting there, apart from the camera module, which we'll come back to. And there's really a lot to like about this device. I mean, I'd even go so far as to say if this had been called the Lumia 935, kind of just a variant on the flagship, I wouldn't really have batted an eyelid, because it's really got everything that you'd expect in a flagship. And the big kind of tagline from Microsoft and for the Lumia team was that it was an affordable flagship, and they really have delivered on this. I think for me, it's the most impressive Lumia device that I've seen probably since they started creating Windows Phone devices. Now, that is in the kind of subset of where it's positioned in the pricing and all that, because obviously you are going to see something like the 1020 as the, you know, the big device if you're an imaging fanatic, or the 930 or one of those other 9 series devices if you're looking, you know, for the big flagship with the best specs. But there's an awful lot to be said for this device, and you know, there's also the micro SD slot in there. So, you know, it's a device which I sat there listening to it being announced. I thought Steve is going to like this. It's got the micro SD, it's got the removable battery, it's pretty thin. You know, the camera isn't up there with the 1020 and probably not with the 930, but it's still very good indeed. It can't really come to any big conclusion until we try it out for ourselves. But having the Zeiss optics and that PureView branding does kind of give you the reassurance that it's going to do interesting things. So my overwhelming impression was really very positive about the 830. It's that X factor that you can't always, you know, quantify when you're talking about a phone. This one, you know, really stands out. And, you know, you think of some of the previous 8 Index Windows Phone device, the 800, you know, it was the first, and it had that great, fabulous design language. But, you know, it left a lot to be desired in both a hardware and a software point of view. The 820, it feels like a bit of a damp squid after the 920. But this 830, I would say, is, you know, I prefer it to the 930. I might even say I'd carry it as a device in preference. You know, that's partly probably the halo effect of having just been at the event. But make no mistake, this is a really very strong device from Microsoft.
And just a note that I've been looking through the specs, Rafe, and we'll come to the 730 in a moment. But the 830 has an LCD screen, not an AMOLED screen like the A20. And the significance of that, as far as I can see, is that they've by using an LCD screen, they've been able to purchase the components with the so-called display memory, which means that the 830 will have the glance screen. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. I mean, and this is one of the reasons I would prefer the 830 over the 930. I've become so used to having that glance screen back from the early days of Active Idol and Symbian, and then obviously when it was reintroduced on Windows Phone. And the important thing to note, I guess, screen-wise, it's the 5-inch at similar size. It's got Gorilla Glass 3, which is nice. It's got that curved 2.25D glasses that Nokia, or rather Microsoft, refer to it as. It is a 720p, so it's a step down from the 1080p screen of the 930, but honestly, it's another really high quality screen in the Lumia device. You know, they've kind of established that as one of their trademarks, or one of those things that you expect to see in the device, and the 830, from what I saw of it, is no exception to that. And having that having glance screen is something I willingly accept to come down from 1080. If you're watching a lot of content, that might be a bit of an issue, or if you're really getting into your video, you might miss the 1080p screen. But honestly, given the cost and everything else, I think it's an acceptable trade-off. And the great thing is there's actually some upgrades to glance screen. So, for example, you could now have a step counter on it that's taking the data from the sensor core and Bing Health and Fitness, or you can take information from Bing Weather and have a forecast displayed on your glance screen. That's actually been done, you know, in a way that can then be added to by other applications. At the moment, it's not available to third-party developers, but I think it's just a matter of time before that becomes available, just as the sensor core SDK is. And so that's great news, because there's a big commitment to kind of glance screen coming there, and I expect to see kind of more things done with it in the future as well. And it's made a feature that was already pretty strong even better, in my opinion.
Just returning very briefly to the screen, one comment. Of course, the being an LCD screen, the 830 screen is RGB matrix rather than pentile, and these are the kind of technical term. The 930, which I have commented, if you look really closely, that 1080p screen, the characters, perhaps white text and a black background, are just very slightly fuzzy. Whereas an RGB screen, although it's only 720p, Rafe, I imagine that 830 display was incredibly crisp to your eyes.
It was, and that's why I'm saying there's not that big difference that you might expect between the 930 and the 830. You know, it gets to a point where, you know, you can spend too much time looking at the specs, and you have to take away what your first impression is. And honestly, it came across as a really great screen. And, you know, you do have to set that against the fact that, you know, this is a lower cost device. It's going to be €330. Now, that's going to probably translate into 350 or so, maybe a bit more than that in the UK high street. And, you know, there are some other spec changes. So this is a Snapdragon 400 rather than 800 device. That kind of means it's equivalent to kind of the 920 and those first generation high-end devices. So it is a step back, and you do see that in a couple of places. You know, the camera app is one of the kind of notable examples. But on the whole, as we see with other Windows Phone devices, that difference in processor isn't nearly as pronounced as it is on particularly the Android devices. So I don't think that's a big deal. The cameras we'll maybe discuss in a minute, it's a bit of a step down. And there are a few other things, but there's lots of other things where you go, you know, it's still got LTE, it's still got, you know, three microphones, so it's able to do rich recording in the video, that surround sound recording that's kind of the hallmark of those high-end Lumia devices. The battery, you know, it's 2,200 mAh, so that's still going to be pretty good as well. So, you know, there's a lot of extras in there that make you think, this is great. You know, it's got the Qi charging built in as well. It's, you know, the similar colours that it's available in. And so, you know, it's also a replaceable battery. So for some people, this device is actually going to be better than the 930, because things like replaceable battery, things like a replaceable cover so you can change the style depending on kind of the mood you're in, are actually things that are positives of the 830 over the 930. And those where, you know, the specification has been taken away, I think, you know, a lot of people go, that doesn't matter to me, or at least they'll be willing to accept it because it is this step down in price. So it really does feel like an affordable flagship. And quite often these marketings, you kind of do a double take. Does that really apply? But actually, I think it's completely justifiable in this case.
Yeah, we wanted to cover the camera aspects because Nokia / Microsoft have branded it as a Pure View camera, and it's probably similar to when the 920 was launched, Rafe, and that was given the Pure View tag, and purists like myself said, hang on a minute, the Nokia 808 was Pure View because it had the huge oversampling sensor, the 920 just got optical image stabilization, and Nokia at the time said, oh well, that's Pure View phase 2. We then had the 1020 with both phases, the oversampling and the OIS, And the 830's just got the optical image stabilization. And as far as I can see, Rafe, there isn't any oversampling. But before you leap in, I can see that they've gone in a different way. They've gone down the direction that many of the top Android phones have gone, whereby having a very fast camera, you can do intelligent digital photography on multiple shots. So there's the thing about the dynamic flash, whereby it takes two shots very quickly, one with flash, one without, and you can combine the two. It's got similar with HDR. So it seems as if Nokia's hardware engineers, now working for Microsoft, of course, have kind of gone down a different path with the A30. And I guess the big question to you is it still worthy of the PureView branding?
I honestly can't say until we try one out. I had a look at a few of the image samples. They're always good when you go to these demo events, and did see some direct comparisons with the iPhone and with the Galaxy S5, and it was better. Now, I think if you're setting up tests, anyone who's done comparison knows that that's a sort of a certain amount of subjectivity, and you can pick and choose the comparisons that you show off to kind of get the result you want. That does happen, but it does look like it's a really good camera, and it's actually the optical image stabilization is important because it makes it a forgiving camera, and that actually ties in with some of the new camera software, which is going to come on top of Lumia Denim. It's technically speaking not quite part of Lumia Denim, because it's Denim, which is the kind of the new Lumia software on top of Windows Phone 8.1 GDR1. Enable some things in there. We'll talk about that new camera stuff in a minute, of which rich capture and what Steve was referring to there with the flash on and off is one element. It's, you know, it's a 10 megapixel, so you haven't got that oversampling reframing, and I think some people, you know, the PureView brand to them means oversampling, but it's always really just been a hallmark for, you know, innovation and high quality imaging, and that's what Nokia explained it as, and certainly that message was repeated today, and I think it's fair enough. If you're going to, you know, put the Carl Zeiss optics in, you're going to have optical image stabilization, you're going to have some really clever software algorithms. I think it's worthy of the name, but I'll be really interested to let Steve loose on this device and get him to do some of his camera capture comparisons and image tests to see how well it stands up. So obviously it's a new module, so it's going to take a while for them to get fully optimized, just as it has with all the other camera modules. And I expect to see this, like, you know, the 1520 and reused in the 930. This module will get reused a couple of times, I'm sure, in future devices. I think you have to sort of have a certain amount of, you know, faith in the track record that the imaging team has had. They produced some great cameras. And of course, this isn't going to be right up the top end because there's a cost factor involved. But getting optical image stabilization in a really new thin module is another significant engineering achievement. I think what's going to be interesting, it's married to some new innovation in the camera and the sort of the imaging software. And Steve's already mentioned performance. We'll talk about some of the others maybe a bit later. And this is one of the devices that's going to benefit from that, along with the 930, the 1520 and the Icon. And actually, I think that's going to make us just a bigger deal for people, because it's going to, again, it's about making it easy to take pictures without having to think about it. You know, don't make me think. And it's probably not what the imaging purists and people who like the 1020 want to hear, but for the average consumer, those kind of things really matter.
Yeah, well, that's a fair comment. We should just move on, because we are going to be short for time. I know you've had a long day at the show and you want to get off to bed, but the 730 and the 735 also announced today. And unusually, Rafe, the 730 is the dual SIM one, and the 735 is the single SIM LTE one, which seems to be the wrong way around, but I'm sure Microsoft know what they're doing. Basically, it's selfie-centric, if I can put it that way, with the emphasis very much put on software to help you take good self-portraits of you and your friends. A wide angle 5 megapixel front camera, presumably of pretty good quality, 4.7 inch screen, a slightly lower price than the 830. What did you think of it in terms of value proposition and build and so forth?
Again, it's a nicely put together device. It actually feels like the 920 that's been on a diet, because it's got a similar kind of shape and design in terms of the curved edges, and so that unibody plastic. Now, it's actually not quite as nice quality as 920, as you'd expect from a device that's sort of coming in at the 220 odd euro mark. But again, it has a lot of the technology in terms of sort of LTE. It's, you know, got the Snapdragon 400 again, the 1 gigabyte of RAM, all those things that you'd kind of come to expect. The camera is worth talking about. I mean, I think a lot of emphasis was put on that front-facing selfie camera to kind of, you know, all these devices, you have to hang them off something to kind of, when you're talking about them. I'd actually say the rear camera is just as much worth talking about, because it's a 6.7 megapixel. It's, you know, got the Zeiss optics. It's f1.9. So this is actually a further development of the camera from the Lumia 720, which I always thought was underrated. rated, you know, given the price point and the mid-tier device that this was in. So I think this is going to be one of the finest camera devices for a device in that price area. You know, we're talking around the £200 mark, and you know, it will come down over time. You know, I feel that they've, you know, you've got the 830, which is an upper mid-tier device, and the 735, 730, it's kind of a lower mid-tier device. And for me, what Microsoft has done here is create as strong a device in this middle tier of the market as they've got in the low tier with the 530 and the 630. You know, we've said quite a few times those devices stand out from their competition, you know, as being kind of better devices at that low end. And you're comparing them to the cheap Android device in particular. I think the 830 and the 735 have the potential to do the same for Windows Phone in the mid-tier. At the same time, we are seeing new mid-tier device announcements from Android manufacturers. So HTC, for example, announced the Desire 820, I believe it was, today. And that's a big step forward as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the 820 in particular rather confused me, because I was just writing up the 830 from the Lumia range, and I was getting very confused with these model numbers.
Yes, yeah, it's always difficult to keep track of all the new hardware. I mean, the 735, the 730 inevitably attract less attention at these kind of events. And I would actually say the 830 in this case is a stronger device. You know, always when you have a couple of devices announced, it sometimes works out that one gets more attention but probably doesn't deserve it because the lower end device was actually kind of better overall. I don't think it is the case this time. You know, the 830 is deserving of the plaudits it gets, but the 735 is perhaps unfairly put in the shadow. You know, because one of the things that stands out about it, apart from it's, you know, available in a kind of very striking range of colours and design, the usual thing that makes it stand out, which I think makes sense in this part of the market, it's also quite a bit lighter. So if you're looking for a slimmer, smaller phone, you know, a step down from the 5 inches that screens that become typical in the high end and even in the mid-tier devices, there's a certain amount to say, you know, this will, you know, be attractive. It's 4.7 inches, 720p screen again. That works out about 360 pixels per inch, which is, if you like, a higher density screen. So some people are going to prefer that. It's still got clear black. It's got super sensitive touch and all those, you know, screen enhancements. And so the screen on the 730, 735 is very good indeed. You know, I would say it's better than the 720. So this is a really worthy upgrade to the 720. As I said, I don't think I like it quite as much as I do the 830, but both of them are very strong devices. It's been a while since Microsoft and Nokia in the past have announced a pair of devices that I both thought, yes, they're both great devices. I can see them selling well. I mean, it's going to be a really competitive market for these, make no mistake. But when you combine it with Windows Phone 8.1 and some of the new bits in Lumia Denim, you know, I think there's every reason to be optimistic. And as I say, you know, we'll talk about these devices more in the next week's podcast, and by then I may have come down a little bit from the bubble that is inevitable after these events. But I think it shows a lot of promise.
Yeah, okay. And we should just again apologise. There are slight breakups in Rafe's bandwidth, but he is coming from a very busy city, technologically, with thousands, if not tens of thousands of journalists all filing their reports and doing podcasts and uploading stuff. So it's good that we've got through to Rafe at all, really. Just before we finish the podcast, this Lumia Denim, we wanted to cover the latest update. Now, obviously, we've got Windows Phone 8.1. That's been rolled out to virtually everyone now, I suspect. And certainly if the people who are interested in it are able to get it. Then they've got Windows Phone 8.1 Update 1, which is essentially the thing that most of us who are real geeks are playing with on the developer preview program. Certainly doing that here. And then Lumia Denim is kind of the superset of that. Lumia Denim is Windows Phone 8.1 Update 1 with some extra enhancements that are exclusive to the Lumia devices. And I run through them quickly, Rafe, but we should just point out it's vital to note that quite a few of the imaging related ones are specific to the higher end devices like the 930, the Icon, the 1520 and the 830. So a lot of the stuff, the Lumia exclusives I'm about to read out, they're basically just for the higher end phones. If you've got a 995, for example, or a 920, or even a 1020, you're not going to get most of this. The Lumia Denim is perhaps less of a must-have than perhaps Lumia Cyan was. And just to run through them briefly before you come in, Lumia Denim adds, over the bog-standard Windows Phone 8.1 Update 1, a Lumia camera, essentially. Well, it's kind of a rebrand, but they say it's faster and more intuitive than before. You can do start up the camera application and take a photograph much faster. Also, if you long press the camera shutter button on the these devices. It can shoot a burst of 4K quality video, and then there's software to go through and pick out the moment you want to take, particularly in snapshots from that high quality video. There's improved image processing algorithms. There's Hey Cortana, which I suspect will make its way to quite a few of the devices, certainly the mid-range to higher-end ones, where you can just talk anytime to Cortana and wake her up, just like you can with some of the Android devices with OK Google. I can't even say that. OK Google, that's always been a tongue twister for me. And finally, the Glance screen now gets on compatible devices like the 830 Bing Weather or Bing Health and Fitness Data. So, for example, you can have the 5-day weather forecast showing all the time on your Glance screen, which is very nice indeed. So, Rafe, Lumia Denim, anything you want to say about that?
Well, just to kind of reiterate what you said, it's not going to be available on all devices. This is partly actually a reflection of Microsoft by buying Nokia's bought things closer together. And so the idea that of pushing exclusive bits of software, more of it is actually sitting in the core Windows Phone part. And I think a good example of that is some of the bits that have been added in Windows Phone Update 8.1, Update 1, GDR1. So you can think of things like the live folders. You know, some of that may have previously been in one of the Lumia updates. And obviously it makes sense for, where possible, for the things that aren't restricted by hardware to go into the core platform. And, you know, that Microsoft today were very clear in saying there aren't any artificial barriers. We're not putting differentiation to make our devices better just for the sake of it. Where you do get the differences, it's about the hardware restrictions. And if you think about something like the camera, obviously that is going to be a hardware restriction. It's both about the camera module, but probably more importantly, the processor that goes alongside it, because obviously doing something like 4K video is a lot more resource intensive, and so you need the kind of the Snapdragon 800 processor to do it, or at least an update to that. And obviously putting that back on all the older devices is a significant development effort, which is why it's not happening. You know, disappointing for users of the 1020, but there are other imaging updates that they didn't really talk about in detail today that will be coming to some of the older devices in time. For example, there's more enhancements to the imaging algorithms. I had a chance to talk to some of the imaging team. We talked about that. And I suspect some of the other bits of updates may well get rolled back, but Microsoft didn't want to be put on the record quite understandably about saying what's going on to when. What they did say that after the Lumia 830 ships, there'll be an update for this Lumia camera application that adds in a very similar set of features. But instead of being 4K video, as you talked about there, it'll actually be 2K or 1080p video. We'll have that same ability to take out moments. And what that actually means is you record a video and then you can go frame by frame through it and pick out the exact imaging still that you want. It's really effective. The imaging software team over in London, Sweden, have put a lot of effort into making it really easy to use. And you know, it was a real highlight for me because you know, 4K video has been on smartphones for a little while now, ever since we had the processors capable of supporting it. But it felt a bit unnecessary because you know, why would you really want it, because you haven't got, or at least most people don't have, the TVs to display it on. And so you do a long press on the camera capture button and it will capture a kind of this burst of 4K video. So imagine those situations where you're trying to capture, you know, a car going around a corner, children running around the garden, a sporting activity. Getting the exact capture moment that you want has always been difficult, because partly because of that lag time for pressing the shutter button, getting the shot, but actually just getting the time, your human reactions aren't quick enough. And so you record a 5-second video, you can then pull out the bit you want that, you know, as you jump into the air or as you scream around the corner or whatever it happens to be, really effective. And the quality of the images coming out of that were really very good indeed. You can, incidentally, actually set the video recording mode, the stand recording mode, to go into 4K. Obviously, there are space considerations because it takes up even more memory than 1080p video. But you know, intelligent use of that kind of extra capability. But for me, the highlight really was the this rich capture technology. And I mentioned it earlier, don't make me think. And this is what it really does. It actually has three different modes, and it's effectively what happens when your camera is in fully automatic mode. And it's a development of kind of the next stage on from the living images that you have on the current devices, where it's capturing a bit of video or it's actually capturing a few frames before you press the shutter button. So you kind of get this photos coming alive effect. But what it does in this particular instance is, if you have the flash turned off, it will capture an HDR image, so three different exposure levels, and you can then actually have a setting that lets you play with exactly what the HDR level is or how it's combined together. Really effective for producing those kind of HDR photos without labeling HDR and sort of having it all automatically done for you, because obviously when you do that, they have to make decisions about how to combine the photos together. By offering this kind of editing mode, which is akin to reframing but for HDR, you can actually choose and create much better, I would say, HDR images. The one that's in some ways even more exciting, I think, for the mass consumer is having the flash turned on and off. We all know that LED flashes tend to ruin pictures. You know, a lot of the time I turn off the flash because I actually don't want it to kind of artificially light the picture. But by leaving it on, what actually happens is that it captures a picture just before the flash goes off, and then obviously captures the one where the flash does go off. As a result, you kind of get these two pictures, the kind of the dark version and then the flash version. And again, what the software allows you to do is edit between the two, and you can actually do a full range of combination from just the one that's no flash right through to the one that's full flash. But the really clever bit, it's in the middle where you can, it's like having the flash that half on half off, if it doesn't really make sense, but you can create some really great looking images. There were some good demos shown there up on the Nokia Press site, and we'll have them on the site for you to look at as well. I thought that really stood out because it solves the problem of flash strength, and it's something that's quite hard to calculate automatically when you're capturing the photos. But you can just tone down the flash, and so you get rid of some of that artificial brightness, yet still have the benefit of the flash. And there is a third mode, actually, that wasn't talked about very much, and it's in very low light conditions. The phone will actually capture one photo with a kind of long exposure time and one with a shorter exposure time. So obviously, if your subject isn't moving, you will probably choose to use the longer exposure. If it is moving, you'll use the shorter exposure. And so those three intelligent modes really add a lot to that camera software. So you know, that stands out for me as kind of my favorite feature, that new rich capture mode. But hey, Cortana, yeah, I mean, it sounds quite simple, you know, being able to activate Cortana just using your voice without, you know, the phone can be on the other side of the room. But obviously that's technically quite a challenging thing to do, and it does rely on hardware. There has to be an always on chip or always on microphone chip, and that's the reason it's actually restricted to a certain a number of devices initially, the Icon, the 1520 and the 930. I expect it still throughout. It may come onto a couple more devices. It won't be on the older devices because they don't have the necessary sort of audio code presses to support that kind of technology. Now, there are some other updates in Lumia Denim. There's some other software updates coming as well. For example, their ColourPop is coming back into Creative Studio. It was a favorite of mine, so I'm glad to see that making a return. And there are various other bits around optimization for accessories, including some of the new accessories, which we'll talk about on the next podcast because they're also really exciting as well. But yes, Lumia Denim, I think it's fair to say for existing device owners, it's not quite so interesting. If you're lucky enough to have the 1520 or the 930, it is very interesting. And obviously some of the 830 as well, it's going to get some of those features. But, you know, it's great to see the 930 and the 1520, those high-end devices, and are getting extra functionality because it just gives them that little bit of extra value. And honestly, it suddenly goes, okay, the 930 does have a few differences from the 830. And suddenly I go, okay, I understand why it's the 830, why it's not the 935 or something like that. So we're going to be learning obviously more about Lumia Denim in the next few months and when it comes available in the fourth quarter. And we'll talk about more of some of the hidden details and the extra bits I picked up at the show in the next podcast. But overall, you know, it's impressive to see both two great new devices and some really standout imaging innovation, you know, from the teams in Lund and obviously elsewhere in Finland as well. So you know, I think it'll be really interesting to see your take on this once you get a chance to play with the devices, Steve, because it's perhaps not for the imaging purists. It's not sort of the 1020 like cutting new ground and breaking new barriers, but I actually think it'll have a bigger impact because it will have a positive impact on a lot of people. And that rich capture mode in particular kind of stands out because it's kind of always on and it's there. And just like reframing was something of a revelation once you started using it. You know, you had to teach yourself to use it. But once you realized it was always there, you stopped worrying about how to frame your pictures precisely because you knew you could go back later and fix it. This basically does the same thing for flash and also for, you know, the exposure settings. So for me, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, and as your bandwidth starts to degrade beyond the point of understandability, I think we'll call this podcast to a close. A couple of things to say before we finish. Obviously, next week we will have Mr. Rafe Blanford back on Proper Wired Broadband. He will be completely intelligible, don't worry. The other thing, of course, is that Rafe can't stop me being Mr. Grumpy, and I'll still be writing editorials about Zin and Flash, because all these fancy multi-shot modes, they assume your subject's not moving. If someone's laughing or moving or shaking or anything like that, then they will be blurred because you're taking multi multiple shots at different time codes. But let's not get into that, Rafe. Maybe that's something you can argue the toss with me next week. Until then, a cheery goodbye from Germany.
A cheery goodbye from Germany, and we certainly will argue it, because I know there's some smart algorithms to fix those kind of things. But Xenon did come up, and someone did mention Steve's name in connection with Xenon. No real surprise there, and I still agree with Steve. Xenon is the way to go for freezing images, but you know, it's a compromise, as with everything else. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Apologies for the slight audio problems. We will be recapping much of this and more details, and there's some other things from IFA to talk about in next week's podcast, and I'll hand back to the UK.
Indeed. So it's goodbye and thanks for listening.